was out here walking around in South Texas, and it's a hard country and a tough country, and I came across a sign that said, keep out. And the keep out sign tells me something. It tells me that the owner of the land doesn't want you to go in there. You know, the owner always has rights. And there's an old argument in the church that says, well, you know, who owned the Garden of Eden? Did God own the garden and just let Adam be the steward of it? Or did God just give it to Adam outright and Adam was the owner of it? And it's an old argument in the church. And I've always said, that's no argument at all. I can tell you in a split second who was the owner just by asking you one question. Who got kicked out? Adam got kicked out. God didn't get kicked out. God kicked Adam out of the garden. And that tells us who the true owner is. God owned the garden, still does. And he puts Adam there as steward, told him he could enjoy it. He could play with his wife, play with his kids, play with the animals, enjoy the trees, the flora, the fauna. But don't you ever forget, when you look at those trees in the middle of the garden, that reminds you who the owner is. You know, I've got a sermon I've preached for years called Every War is Fought Over Who Owns What. And we need to settle in our own spirit, our own heart, that God is the owner. He's our source. We don't own it. We're not in competition with Him. We're simply His steward. And I'm glad that He's the Father and I'm the Son. Remember this, you're more than conquerors. So all of heaven is watching the earth all the time, looking for a man or a woman that's going to use the Word of God, that's going to speak the Word of God, that's going to move on the Word of God. And when they do, heaven moves.
Hello, everyone. Welcome today to More Than Conquerors program, Terry Mize Ministries. We are, as always, darling, delighted to be here with you. And it's just such an honor to share things from the Word of God that we know will help you. We've tried and proven them, you know, and many of you have done the same. So we just want to share with you some good stuff that we've just had really burning in our hearts to do and talk about again, because it's so important in these days that we live in that you know how to fight. You know how to win every time. You know from testimonies that Terry has shared in all his 56 years of ministry, all the things that we've seen God do, plus we have a whole Bible full of tried and proven, you know, dynamic and systems, if we could say that, and then methods of things that we've seen people win throughout the Word of God.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
You know, when you had that hitchhiker dynamic happen, And you can talk about that in just a moment. But these five smooth stones that David, you know, picked up in the riverbed evidently there, and just he went and gathered them up when he was about to fight Goliath. Here's this 17-year-old young man out there with no armor, as you say, he didn't even have a pocket knife, and he's going out to fight Goliath. And all he had was a slingshot and five smooth stones. And the Lord spoke to you about how to fight when you were fighting in that dynamic with the hitchhiker. I mean, you're only 24 years old.
Right.
And here's a man that's pulled a gun on you, said he's going to kill you and take all your stuff. It's like, I'm the big bad wolf. I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. And then the Lord just dropped in your heart at that time how to really fight this thing, because you'd never dealt with anything like that before.
Well, not in that category, but I dealt with lots of things where I had to use my faith to make it happen. So I didn't really learn it there. But, you know, I just, as I ministered this message the last year or so, you know, for decades, I'd tell the hitchhiker story. It happened.
Right.
Well, this year is be 50 years. November, right. October of this year will be 50 years. And so for 50 years, I've told that testimony. And people asked me to tell it. And Brother Osteen told me I'd miss God if I didn't tell it everywhere I go. Oral Roberts told me I'd miss God if I didn't tell it everywhere I go, because people need to hear it. But I got to where I didn't like to tell it, you know, because I just thought, oh, my Lord, that's so old, you know, and people have heard it. And I need, you know, I need I used to tell Jackie, you know, if it's over 2 weeks old, let's don't tell her. Let's just go get a new testimony. Yeah. But it is a vital testimony. But anyway,
it is so vital.
I just always kind of skipped over it. I always said, you know, well, the hitchhiker pulled a gun on me and you know, right. He stuck it in my ribs. He said, I'm going to kill you, and later in my forehead. And then later he shot at me 5 times, just, you know, this far away. And the bullets didn't hit me, and people say, well, Terry, how did you do that? How could you be 24 years old when a guy shoot at you and the bullets not hit you and so on and so on and so on? And I always just, when I tell the testimony, I just said, well, you know, I use the name and I use the blood and I use the word and I use the covenant and I use the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. But then here's the secret sauce. Here's the caveat. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing that makes it work. I said, then I did it again. Right. Then I did it again. Then I did it again. Then I did it again.
That's
and
it.
I think that's the part maybe people miss because they want to do it one time and walk away.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, we've said for decades and decades and decades, it's not a 9-inning ball game. We play till we win. And so I just kept doing it until I won. So the first thing happened when he reached over and stuck the gun in my ribs here and grabbed my collar like this and said, I'm going to kill you. You know, well, I said, in the name of Jesus. The first thing I did was in the name.
In the name.
In the name. In the name. You know, Peter said about the crippled man that was at the Gate Beautiful his entire life. He's over 40 years old. And so he looked to Peter in Acts chapter 3 and 4. He looked to Peter for expecting to receive something from him and John because they probably had given to him over the years,
right.
You know.
Sure.
Peter said, well, silver and gold have I none. You know, like today I don't have anything on me. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
then
rise up and walk. Grabbed him by the hand, jerked him up, and he was completely healed. He went running and leaping and praising the Lord. And so when people ask him later, and it caused such an uproar in the church and in the town,
right.
And people were asking Peter about it, he said, hey, don't look at us like we did something. He said, it's the name and faith in that name that makes this man stand before you whole. So the first thing I did is went to the name. First thing I still do is go to the name. You know, somebody says, Terry, would you pray with your meal? Terry, would you pray with? I say, well, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Name.
You know, and so I always go to the name, and I think most Christians do say, in the name of Jesus. So I told that hitcher, I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And then the second thing I did was the blood. I said, I plead the blood of Jesus before I left the hotel
Hallelujah.
That morning. I said, I plead the blood of Jesus on me and on my car, on
right.
everything in the car. I put the bloodline around it, and the devil can't cross the bloodline. And so I used the blood, you know,
right.
and then it's just automatic. The third thing you go to is the Word and say, the Word says, God says, the
right.
Bible says, Jesus says.
Yeah, Psalm 91 says.
Yeah. And I said, you know, Jesus said in Luke 10:19 that he gave me power or authority or dominion over A-double-L all, the power of the enemy, and nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G,
right.
nothing shall by any means hurt you. So I immediately went from the name to the blood to the Word.
Right.
And then I told the Lord, I said, Father, you've got to do something with the bullets. If he pulls the trigger, you must, M-U-S-T, you must do something with the bullets, not for my sake, this isn't right. about me, for your covenant's sake, because
sake.
You're the faithful God that keepeth covenant, and your word is said, and Jesus has said that we have a
right.
covenant here. And
yes.
I just quoted Luke 10:19 that says, Jesus said, he gave me power, authority, and dominion over all the power. That's covenant.
Yeah, that's
right. So I went to the covenant, and I said, and you're the faithful God that keepeth the covenant.
Right.
So this man, his gun, his bullets cannot hurt me.
Right.
And if he pulls the trigger, I expect you to do something with the bullets for your covenant's sake.
Covenant's sake.
Not for my sake, not for my wife's sake, who'd be a widow, not for my kid's sake, who'd
right.
be without a daddy.
Right.
No, for your sake, for your covenant's sake, because you're the faithful God that keepeth covenant. So I immediately went to the covenant, which is the exact straight place David went to
right.
in 1 Samuel 17. He immediately
so
called Goliath,
exactly.
never named him a giant, never named him a warrior, never gave him any credibility, never gave
That's
him
right.
any honor, never
That's
gave
right.
him any respect at all. He just right. said, this uncircumcised Philistine. Well, when he said the word uncircumcised, that tells all of us he's talking nothing but covenant.
Right.
Because God said to Abraham, if you'll take these male babies and circumcise them on the 8th day after they're born, they'll have a covenant with me. And God cut covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12. He cut it again in Genesis 17. And he said, Abraham, I'm making this covenant between me and you.
Right.
And your seed after you, which would have
right.
been Isaac, and their seed after them. In their generation, he said, for an everlasting covenant. So covenants, I've said several times lately, and even said on the program, covenants, you know they're going to be bloody. They know
That's
it's going to be a blood
Number
covenant.
One. Yeah.
With God, it's always going to be a blood covenant. And then it's going to be and have no time limit. It doesn't expire.
That's right.
There's no expiration
Thank
date
God.
On it.
Thank
he
God.
Said it's going to be for an everlasting covenant. He'd say, Abraham, this is between me and you, and that's all.
That's right.
This is between me and you and your boy Isaac, and that's all. No, he said, and their seed after them in their generation for an everlasting covenant.
Right.
So that covenant is still in effect today.
Well, that's right.
In Galatians 3:29 says, if we belong to Christ, and we do, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So some people say, well, Abraham's covenant is just good for the Jews. Well, that's why Paul threw that in by the Holy Ghost in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise or according to the covenant.
Right.
So I went straight to the covenant because God's a covenant God. They're always going to be bloody. They're going to have no time limit, no expiration date. They're deathless. They're going to be not generational, but multi-generational. They're just going to go from generation to generation to generation. Whenever Isaac was in a situation in Genesis 26, in a famine in the land, then everybody's leaving, going to Egypt to get food. There was no food. So Isaac was packing his bag to go to Egypt too to get some food. And the Lord said, no, don't do that. You stay here in this land.
That's right.
And I will bless you according to the oath or the covenant.
The covenant.
That I swore. God swore
so
by himself.
Important.
He swore an oath. The Bible says he swore by himself because there was nothing greater.
That's right.
He had no higher power to swear on.
That's right.
So he swore on himself.
Well,
he said, I swore an oath to Abraham, your father, that I would bless you and your seed and your seed. So you stay in this land and I'll provide food based on the covenant I cut with him, and he's dead and gone, but that covenant's still in effect. So Isaac stayed in the land, and the Bible says that same year he planted, and he received a harvest of 100-fold. And the man waxed great and grew very great and had great store of servants and great store of animals and riches and so on and so forth. And it says, and the Philistines envied him. So the world was looking at him and his crops and his harvest and his abundance in time of famine.
Right.
And they envied him, but it's all because of the covenant God cut with Abraham. It wasn't even because it was Isaac. It was because he had cut the covenant with Abraham. So
that's
it's always going to be covenant. And then the last thing is the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I knew if God's going to do something with those bullets and with that gun and with that guy, it was going to have to be the power of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't going to be something. It wasn't going to be me.
Right.
It was going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. So to me, and I know, we've got these stones out here because people have asked us for them. And places I've preached this, I've even had two different ladies. I never even mentioned them, that we had them, because we didn't even have them at the time. But two different ladies in two different churches went and made their own after they heard me preach it. They went and just one of them just took a marker and got some stones and wrote it. The other one wrote off somewhere and had them engraved.
Right.
And then they brought the idea to me, and you had already been thinking about it.
Yeah.
But I've heard many, many sermons since I was 6 years old and got saved to now on David and Goliath.
Right.
And I've heard lots of preachers say, give lots of reasons about the five smooth stones, and I've heard them say, David knew Goliath had four brothers, he's going to have to kill them. And somebody else said, that the five smooth stones were the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I knew that wasn't right because you can't throw an apostle at somebody. And I never really put a lot of time into it.
Right.
But I did years and years and years ago just ask the Lord, I said, is there any significance? I hear preachers talk about, is there any significance to the fact there were five smooth stones? And it just came up in my spirit immediately and said the name, the blood, the word, the covenant, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I went back, this one's the name.
That's the name.
Yeah. Yeah, it says on there, the name. But I went back to 1 Samuel 17.
Right.
And watched that David used all five of those.
Right.
And I've even had people tell me over the years, now, Brother Terry, David didn't use the name of Jesus because he didn't have the name of Jesus. I didn't say the name of Jesus. I said he used the name.
Right.
Because he had lots and lots of names.
He had all those
names of God.
Yes.
He had El Shaddai. He had El Elyon. He had Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha,
Yahweh,
Jehovah Rea, Jehovah
Adonai,
Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sitkanu. I mean, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rohi.
He had all those
names of God.
Our healer.
And those people in the Old Testament, they would actually use the name one of God's names,
right,
the one they needed at the time.
Right.
So when David said there in 1 Samuel 17 to Goliath, he said, I come to you in the name,
right,
he said, of the Lord of hosts. So he wasn't using it. El Shaddai, he wasn't using Jehovah Jireh, he wasn't,
right,
using Jehovah Rapha. He was using Jehovah Sabaoth or Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That's what he said. I come to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth,
right,
the
right,
Lord of hosts. Because he's talking about, I need the God of angel armies here.
Right.
I need the general. I need some military fighting here. So he called on that name of God.
You know, when you talk about all those names, like the name of Jesus in the New Testament, the thing that we see in the Old Testament from all those wonderful names, Terry, is the fact that God would reveal himself,
oh, absolutely,
in different circumstances,
absolutely,
by a particular name that would fit that circumstance.
Well, absolutely.
And that's just what's so powerful, all culminated in the New Testament, and that the covenant was ratified again in blood,
yes,
by the death,
always,
burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so that name of Jesus in the new covenant,
yes,
just gathers up all those names of the old covenant,
oh, absolutely,
and puts them all in the name of Jesus. And then that brings us up to date,
sure,
to how we're supposed to fight.
Well, that's why Peter,
yet,
said whenever that man was, he pulled the crippled man up.
Yeah.
And Peter said later to the people, said, it's the name.
It's the name.
And faith in
it's
that
the name
that makes
it's
this man whole that you see standing before,
right,
you now. You know, I remember decades ago, I was in Jamaica. I used to take teenagers, church youth groups, to Jamaica on soul winning trips. Every summer I did. I took year and Dean's youth group numbers,
right,
of times.
Right.
Your own kids, you know, Matt and,
right,
Alan and Abigail. And of course,
right,
my kids were there. But sometimes I'd have 100 kids. Sometimes I'd have 60. Sometimes I'd have 40. Sometimes I'd have, you know. And I remember one day in the bus, we're going somewhere on the bus to go soul winning or do something. And the kids started singing that song was popular back then about Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Yeah.
You know. And so they sang that two or three times through, you know, Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Mm.
And after they got through, I said, can any of you tell me where that phrase came from and why,
yeah,
it's used? And they look at me with eyes crossed, you know. I said, no, the song you're singing, Jehovah Jireh. I said, what does that mean? Well, they,
right,
knew it meant the Lord's my provider because it's right there in the song, you know. I said, but do you know when it was used? Do you know where,
right,
it came from in the Bible? And
exactly,
not one of them did.
Right.
You know, and I said, that comes from the book of Genesis when God told Abraham,
exactly,
you take your boy Isaac and sacrifice him. You put him, you tie his hands, you put him on the altar, you stab him with a knife and kill him, and then you set the thing on fire and offer it as a sacrifice. And Abraham said, okay, I'll do it. And so they went.
Wow.
And the Bible tells a story
what
that
a
they loaded the wood on the donkey, they loaded the fire, they loaded everything they needed, but they didn't load a sacrifice.
My
and so
goodness.
Isaac, who was about 21 at that time, he had seen this happen many times. He had been with his daddy many, 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 many times when he did the sacrifices. So he knew the whole routine.
Yeah.
And so when they got there, they left a man to keep the donkeys at the base of the mountain.
Right.
And they went on up on the mountain. But the last thing Abraham said to the guy keeping the donkeys was, he said, you
clue,
stay here and keep the donkeys. I and the lad will go yonder and come again.
Yes.
He didn't say, we're going to go yonder and I'm going to kill him and I'm coming back by myself.
Yeah.
No, Abraham knew, and the Bible even says that Abraham was willing that if it had to, see, that God would have to raise that boy from the dead. Boy was a covenant
Hallelujah.
Promise.
Hallelujah. That's right.
And God had said to Abraham, you're going to have,
well,
a son, name his name Isaac, and out of him I will bring the nations,
yeah,
of the world. They'll be more than the sands of the beach or the stars in the sky. And it took 25 years. From the time God told Abraham, you're going to have a son, it took,
wow,
25 years before that boy was born.
A lot of people can't
stand
25 seconds.
How many Christians today, they said, Brother Terry, I tried that for 3 days and didn't work. I said, well, yeah, how about standing 25 years?
25 years,
but
Lord
anyway,
have mercy.
But he said to the man, he said, you stay here and keep the donkeys, and I and the lad will go
we'll return
to you again. So he's already planning on Isaac coming back with him, but he's still planning on killing him.
Well, and the process that he had to go through in his mind to realize, you know, if I have to kill this boy, and yet he's been promised to me,
It'd be a violation of covenant.
You know, he thought that through,
sure,
Terry.
Sure he did.
And people read past that in the Word of God, and they don't...
Those little clues and little details that God gives in the Bible.
Those
I always tell people, you missed the whole point if you didn't get the clue.
And he
God
reasoned
goes to an
that.
Effort to put certain words in there to give you a clue.
A clue to the process of faith. There was a process to him
absolutely.
Arriving at that faith conclusion. If this boy was promised to me to be the seed of, 100,000 generations,
yeah.
then if God has to, he'll raise him from the dead.
Absolutely.
If that's all there is for the sacrifice.
So when they got up on the top of the mountain and began to build the sacrifice, gather the stones and put, Isaac said, Dad, he's thinking his dad's getting a little senile, maybe getting old.
Yeah.
He said, Dad, seems like you forgot something. He said, we've done this a lot of times. And
a lot of thoughts.
I see the fire. I see the wood. I see the ropes. I see the knife. I don't see the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Where's the sacrifice? Where's the ram?
Well.
And that's where that name of Jehovah Jireh came from, because Abraham said, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, will provide himself a ram. That's such a clue, Renee. The Lord,
it is.
The Lord will provide himself a ram. And so Isaac said, okay. And so Abraham took his hands, tied them, put him on the altar, put him on the sacrifice, raised the knife, ready to plunge it into his heart.
Oh, my goodness.
And just before, and Isaac led him. He's 21 years old. He could have knocked that old man out.
Yeah,
right?
No joke.
But he raised the knife, and before he came down into his body, the angel stopped him. And whenever he did, they heard a ram bleeding over in the bushes, And so God provided himself a sacrifice, a ram. And so he cut Isaac loose, went and got the ram, put him up there, cut his throat, had the sacrifice. And I can't tell you how many times over my 56 years of Third World Missionary Evangelism, I have prayed that prayer when I need money, or when I need healing, or when I needed some equipment, or when I needed a crusade, or this or that or the other, or been in some foreign country. And I would say,
Jehovah Jireh,
you will provide yourself the money for this crusade.
That's
this is your crusade.
Isn't
this
that
is
a
about
great
you.
Prayer?
You're after healings and miracles and signs and wonders
process.
And salvations and infilling of the Holy Ghost and casting out devils. You'll provide that yourself. I'm not providing it.
Right.
Jehovah Jireh is providing it for himself.
Hallelujah.
God will provide himself, $100, $1,000, $10,000, whatever you got to have for the ministry. God will provide himself the crusade. God will provide himself the miracles. Jehovah Jireh will provide. He's the provider.
The name. Yeah.
I was praying just the other day. Well, I prayed all the time and said, Lord, I'm believing you for some more partners to add partners to us. Right. And I said, I'm expecting you to provide partners, and since you're Jehovah Jireh,
that's right.
Then you'll provide partners, and
that's
since
right.
you're El Shaddai, another name of God, the God that's more than
more
enough,
than
I said,
enough.
Since you're Jehovah Jireh, you'll provide them because you're the provider. Since you're El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough, you'll provide more than enough partners,
that's
more
right.
than I need.
That's
you'll provide
right.
the money that I'm needing because you're Jehovah Jireh, the provider, but you'll also provide more than enough money because you're El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Now, whenever I'm sick, I say, you're Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Right?
That's right.
Whenever I'm in a country where they're shooting, guns and bombs, I'm hearing bombs go off and guns go off, or they're threatening my life, as I've been many times, I lay down and say, Father, your covenant says, I will both lay me down and in peace and sleep, for you keep me in perfect safety. And I say, Lord, you are Jehovah Shalom. You're my peace.
Right. Right.
I'm laying down with Jehovah Shalom. I'm laying down with the God of peace.
Right.
And so whatever name
that's right.
you need to use, then you take one of those. So when David said, I come to you in the name, he knew exactly which name he was talking about. In fact, it's translated in the King James, the Lord of hosts. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. But he would have said, I come to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth.
You just finished a great faith, living by faith seminar
at the
wonderful church in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Great friends.
Pastor Marlon Gould, Victory Christian
friends,
Center.
Family friends.
And we talked a lot, we just have a minute and a half here, but you talked a lot about the faith process, the daily living by faith.
Right, she wanted me to preach
the
on
ability,
living by faith.
The ability to overcome a negative, fear-filled thought. And the first place you start, and we have these available here coming up for everybody, the name. the name of Jesus are all consummated. And then when you use that name, you begin to engage in resisting the enemy.
Right.
You begin to become offensive in your attack against every lie of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you start out with the name,
right.
In the name of
exactly.
Jesus, in
exactly.
the name of Jesus. And then you know backing up the name of Jesus is an entire Old Testament history
Amen.
Of all the names of God that are
well,
culminated
you've had
in
these
this.
Made and you've mentioned them, but I want everybody to know that, you know, they're not magic, they're not
yeah.
a rabbit's foot, they're not. It's not snake oil, we're not trying to sell you something to
no,
give
no,
you some
no.
kind of, but it's just a reminder.
This is, these
put
are
on
just
your desk
helps.
And you see these little rocks that say the
yeah.
name, the blood, the word, the covenant, the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So,
and
so,
a nice
you know,
leather bag.
We're not into, you know, selling stuff, but I've had several people ask me for them, and just the first couple of times I preach this, you had like 65 people come
right.
up to you and say, hey, have y'all got those I could have? And we thought, well, maybe we should produce them. So, you know, we're not trying to
no, that's
tell
right.
you there's some hyper special thing about these rocks. They're just some
well,
rocks we ordered and
no, that's
had them
right.
engraved.
We just want to help you. We're out of time today, and we just want to tell you again one more time, in the name of Jesus, you are
more than
conquerors. Bye-bye. Hello, everyone. Terry and I are here to just say thank you. And just
Thank you.
We just can't thank you enough, all of you that have partnered with Terry Mize Ministries. And all the blessing of God we pray on every single one of you.
Amen.
Some of these are testimonies, prayer requests, notes given with offerings. There's a whole bunch of these all hidden under here from 2023, and we saw the Lord do great things, not only for us, but through you and your confidence in us and your care for the ministry. You trusted us to pray for you. You trusted us with your money, and we couldn't be more thankful and more grateful and yet very humbled.
Oh, absolutely. And both in the ministry, Terry Mize Ministries, and in our orphanage foundation,
yes.
Jackie Mize International Children's Foundation.
Yes.
We just appreciate that. Thank you for it. And of course, out of TMM, we cover the expenses for the other foundation, for Jackie Mize International Children's Foundation. So thank you for giving to both of those entities,
That's right.
both of those ministries. We appreciate it. We pray for you every day, every day, every day. And I believe God's absolute best for you.
That's right. As we continue on now in 2024, we just want to encourage you to use your faith with ours, because we laid hands on all of these, and that the blessing of the Lord is returned back on you in every area of your life. And God's not through. You know, it's like Brother Copeland said many years ago, we don't play nine-inning ball games. We play till we win.
Absolutely.
And so we're hanging on to these. We're laying hands on these, and we're calling your life blessed in every area. Thank you for partnering with Terry Mize Ministries.